I'll be talking today about a passage from Heir to the Glimmering World by Cynthia Ozick. The passage begins on 167 and discusses for the most part James and his character. I feel like this is one of the first moments where we really get some insight into what it is that drives James and what he struggles with. Within this scene, we see so much of the identity that's forced upon him and his struggling to either shed it or to accept it. Such as when he visits Walden Pond, which is another place like his knees and his bangs, which is part of scripture of books. And yet, he's disappointed that it's ordinary, seeming mirroring his own disappointment in himself being not the special bear boy that everybody sees him to be. Another part of his identity that he clearly struggles with is money, and reading this, you see that it should bring him respect in much the same way that the priest collar, when the actor puts it on, brings him respect that he doesn't get as an ordinary man. And yet, because James shuns it and resists the valuable items in storage and their monetary value, he becomes like a thief and a robber when he uses the money to get him out of jail. They see him as a fake, not deserving of the money, and therefore he doesn't get the respect because he doesn't embrace his full identity. I also found this interesting because right along with this we get the theater company, and there's so much going on there with, does the priest's role foreshadow the death in the third act of James himself, who we watch and we go to see his eventual demise? How is that working as a mirroring for it? Also, the woman, the ingenue, in that though she's 50, she can still be the daughter of the priest who's only middle-aged, and what this is suggesting of that somehow she can be more realistic in playing a daughter that she clearly can't be, whereas James can't be. It's almost mocking him. And finally, with the boy is a mirror of him in many ways, of not going to school and having this one role of not speaking, just being an object there. And yet, it's the first point where we see James trying to change people and turn them into what they are not. As we'll see later, he takes this boy and starts paying him to learn how to read, and in this way, he becomes something that he isn't and becomes fake, and it's almost as if James is trying to make himself real by negating everybody else's true personalities and roles. Finally, I'd like to speak a little bit about the narrator's voice in this passage. Because in particular, when it's handling the setting of the speakeasy as well as the audience in the playhouse, there seems to be a tone of contempt there, of the people in the speakeasy are just drinking themselves silly and making fun of the law and flirting and groping each other in a way that's not very respectable. But in the same way, the audience in the Will Glory Theater are watching this ridiculous play with characters that don't belong there, and are holding these fans that have this picture of a Japanese bridge over a stream that clearly just, it all doesn't fit. And so what is this contempt, and where is the narrator coming from? What is it signifying? Is it so that we get inside James' head and see how he views the rest of the world as somewhat ridiculous and below him in the hatefulness of him? Or are we trying to get something else out of it? I'm personally tempted to read it as these two kind of mirror how the world takes the bear boy and accepts him and gets joy out of him, even though it's a ridiculous concept. And in this same way, James can't fit into the speakeasies nor fully into this audience of this theater, because he can't understand just the gleeful joy from something ridiculous and something inconsequential. And in so, the same hatred that he has for the bear boy and all that it represents gets manifested here within the audience, both of the speakeasy and of the audience in the theater.